going to do now is to have a brief opening session talking about our future agenda. It will be followed up by breakout sessions after after tea. You can see on pages 23 through page 27 which breakout session you have been assigned to. That will take place after tea, and then we will have feedback from those sessions later on today. Of course, we are very much looking forward to what comes out of these sessions spontaneously, and what do you think are the most important issues that we should be addressing in the next couple of years. So this is truly a very important session. We have here Paul Cherry, the chairman of our IFRS Advisory Council, Peter Clark, our director of research, and Alan Teixeira, senior director of technical activities. Paul, may I ask you, you will give an overview of your thoughts on our paper, and I would like to give you the floor to give your introductory remarks, which are, of course, very important, given the fact that you chair our advisory council. Please.
Well, thank you very much, Hans, and good morning, ladies and gentlemen. It's a pleasure to be here. I'll keep it brief. The importance of the topic at this stage is we really need your input. I wanted to assure you, however, that the Advisory Council has been spending a fair bit of time on this topic. I also want to put in a plug. One of the challenges of the Council going forward is to play the role that we were intended to play, and that role is strengthening with time, which we see as a positive thing. But we are in early stage in terms of making most people who aren't in this room aware of our existence and what we can do and cannot do. Certainly in the last 18 months, the agenda consultation has been the prime topic, but not the only one. We've had and will continue to have discussions around the trustee strategy review and the monitoring board review. Those conversations include representatives of the trustees and of the monitoring board. We will continue that conversation next month at our meeting in October. The third item, branding, is sort of has a wide range of meanings depending on your particular perspective. Certainly includes the quality of the standards, the quality of their interpretation and application, and I think ultimately transparency in terms of the marketplace and the basis of reporting that's being used. To some extent, your views on branding will tie in, I think, with your views on the agenda consultation, because there is significant interplay, and I want to come back to the branding thing. And finally, we've been looking at our own performance and how we can improve on it, and there are papers available on our website on some of these matters, so you can follow us as we go along. As for the request for views, and I must really commend Hans and the board and the staff, I think from the council's perspective, this has played out the way I think is an example of how it should work going forward. So much in the last few years has been driven by an extreme sense of urgency, whether it was the capital markets crisis, whatever, it was everyone doing their utmost just to keep our heads above water. It was difficult in those circumstances, perhaps, to have the consultation occur at the right time. There's no point getting nice advice when you've already had to make certain decisions. This one, as I say, the council got involved early. We've had extensive discussions with the staff and with board members. There's been to and fro. The council has always wanted to hear feedback from the board, and I think this paper that's out there does an excellent job of demonstrating that the council has taken the matter seriously. You can look at our paper to see the consensus, and this is an instance where the council reached consensus, and where the board has attempted to respond, not always agreeing, and that's fair enough. The main thrust of our consensus was that in the near term, and I think you have to keep your time horizon in mind, you know, we're talking the next few years, that the council thought most of our collective effort should be into consolidating the accomplishments that are huge and that have been made in recent years, what I will call maintaining rather than putting new standards into place. Huge support for completing the conceptual framework, and I would say completing. I think there is a sense that that sort of topic can go on and on and on, and that is not a productive use of time. Disclosure is in there. We see disclosure as related to the conceptual framework, but we see no reason to risk having a high-quality effort on rethinking disclosure sink into the potential abyss of a complete comprehensive rewrite of the framework. Those, in our judgment, can go forward in parallel. Third point is something that we have raised, but I can't give you a clear sense. It's great to talk about what are we doing short term, but if you're always thinking that way, suddenly 10 years from now, it's like, good heavens, how did we end up here? There's a sense in the council that in addition to the current consultation, a sense of the longer term direction. What are our aspirations collectively? Where do we want to be 10 years from now and manage that process? And that's an ongoing challenge. In some senses, we call that research. I'm not sure that's entirely maybe part of it. Finally, there was an interesting debate about how much information do you need to provide intelligent input to this current consultation. The focus, quite rightly, I think, is at a strategic level. However, the board has to factor in all sorts of other considerations in making decisions. Not everyone understands the significance of some of the projects, the resources that are available. So there was a sense that perhaps a little more detail on that type of thing would be helpful for stakeholders to understand and accept the conclusions that the board ultimately reaches. They sort of say that a picture's worth a thousand words. This picture was painted in an impressionistic fashion at an early stage in our consultation, and the council was asked to make one huge assumption, and that was that the current program would be completed by June 30th, 2011. Now, that hasn't happened. I think that's actually a good thing. But really what we were trying to say is that big block of blue on the left-hand side, all of the good stuff that is substantially completed in the last few years, the board's job may or may not be done, but the rest of the system, it's just beginning. So the council was really saying in the next few years, that lower level, it's been called a period of calm. That's one of the worst descriptions I can think of, but once it was out there, it sounded so nice that it got firmly established. What we mean is a period of calm in terms of major new and revised standards being promulgated in the next few years. It will be anything but calm as the rest of the system goes forward, and that was the thrust of whether it's the board doing these things or the board facilitating others in doing things is open for debate. We see this as an iterative process. Once the board has had a chance to analyze the comments and the council will be consulted, next step, I believe, and we're aiming possibly for the council meeting in February of next year, is for the board to come back with perhaps a short list of what seem to be the strongest contenders as potential new projects. And again, the council's views will be sought on that matter. And I think the final observation there is current circumstances are rather unique, both in terms of the massive amount of activity up until now, and that we're looking at a relatively clean slate this time round. I would think going forward, there would normally be more of a backlog of projects already underway, so that perhaps it wouldn't be such a clean slate. So that's a huge, huge benefit, I think, for us. We have an opportunity here to let go of the past baggage, think going forward. My final point, and I don't have a slide for it, is I have a request of you on behalf of both the council and the trustees. One of the points of concern that we have is confusion in the marketplace as to what basis of reporting is actually being used. And I want to thank Mr. Nishikawa for his slide, I would urge you to look at page 9, I think it is, of the handout. The chart, what we desperately need is reliable information on what basis of reporting is being used in your country. There's lots of rumors out there that it's an anything-goes proposition, that when people say IFRS, it's not IFRS. What we need, and I would ask if you could, to provide this information within a matter of days. And if you look at that chart, for your domestic listed company, what is the status relative to IFRS? And with IFRS, we mean full IFRS as issued by the IASB. And I think he laid it out brilliantly. You know, is it permitted? Is it required for some? Is it required for all? And thank you very much. You've got a question that I hadn't thought of, but I think is absolutely right. Does the audit report state unequivocally compliance with IFRS? If you could just answer those yes, no. If there are exceptions and you want to provide the information, that's great. But we need the information. It's got to be reliable. It's got to be credible. And the credibility will come from you providing it, not from me running around saying, I earnestly believe this to be true. We truly need this information on an urgent basis. The intention would be that we would present it to the councils and to the trustees. And there's a sense that we should start to post a list just to those who are answering yes. This is not an attempt to embarrass or shame. It's simply to be factual. How many permit or require for domestic companies? So if you could please send that to us. There's contact information on our website. The staff member is Jan Baldur. So JBALDURS. At IFRS.org. Your note, I'm not giving you my email. That's simply because you shouldn't trust me with the information. I'm dangerous. So thank you very much for that, and we look forward to your comments.
Okay, thank you very much, Paul. I'll now give the floor to Ellen and Peter, who are going to tell us a little bit about how the breakout sessions are going to be set up. Is this going to be a duo performance?
Absolutely.
This is right, you know, the team spirit of the IASB.
Absolutely. That and the fact that we don't have a remote. We have to be here to move it. As Paul mentioned, this is a rather unique opportunity, but I also want to emphasise one of the points here because I think it's actually very important in terms of the agenda consultation. This process, the triennial consultation, was set up essentially to make sure that we've got the right general direction in our agenda, the right sort of balance. We're considering the projects appropriately, for example. It's a chance to sit back and reflect and say, hey, are we in the right sort of direction? This is quite a unique opportunity because, as Paul said, it's a relatively empty agenda. For those who've listened to David Tweedy in past conferences and meetings, he always bemoaned the fact that, in a way, he never had a chance to set an agenda. He said the first wave of projects was influenced by the improvements process in 2005 and then the second by the MOU. So this is quite a unique opportunity for the ISB. But what I want to warn, though, is that I don't think out of the agenda consultation we're just going to simply say, right, as a result of the consultation, we're adding four projects to the agenda. Because in order to get things onto the agenda, we actually have to prepare full agenda proposals. We have to look at the relative merits of each one of those, including all the input you provide us. Okay, so this what we are seeking is basically this input into the process. It's going to take a bit of time for our board to go through and decide whether to commit to what essentially are quite long-term projects.
Okay, thanks. So to give a sort of overview of the agenda consultation document, we're asking really for views on the strategic direction and the overall balance of what we're doing, looking at what's important and considering the constraints on us. To do that, we structured the document into two main areas, developments and maintenance. And developments we broke down into three areas, which is the conceptual framework, the sort of longer-term strategic vision that Paul was talking about a few minutes ago, and also major projects. And then in the implementation area, it's post-implementation review and sort of repairs and maintenance type work. Now, to put a bit more structure around your discussions, we've put in some suggested areas for you to focus on, which is what should be the broad strategic direction, what sort of balance should we look for between the development activities and the maintenance activities, and a couple of sub-bullets we've put under there. How should we think about the projects that were on the agenda but went somewhat into cold storage over the last year or so, and what are the key issues we should be looking at? I suspect you'll probably have fairly broad-ranging discussions, but hopefully that will put a little bit of structure around it. Now, as Hans said earlier, the breakout groups are in your packs. Can we just check to see whether anybody has any questions on the organization of the breakout session? Okay, so it sounds as if we're probably ready to let people go and have their tea and then go and start the breakouts.
Okay, we have 10 minutes extra for tea, so you can afford to let it cool down a little bit before drinking it, which is very good for your health. Okay, we'll start half an hour from now with the breakout session.